Blog Talk Radio.
Almighty force of sin, our God, a full one never failing. Our helper, he amid us, Lord of lords, all ills prevailing. Though still our ancient foe does seek to work us woe,
and welcome to another broadcast of Reformation News, where I, your brother in Christ, your servant in the Lord, and your one and only radio reformer, am in studio today to present to you another proposition. Yes, indeed, we are presenting one proposition after another. And yet to date, we have not heard, my dear brothers and sisters. Isn't it a shame that we have not heard from a single member of the Joint College of African American Bishops? Are they on vacation? Are they asleep? We must ask these questions, because I can't fathom how an organization so august and so replete with men wearing scarlet robes how they don't respond. They just don't respond. Well, today is proposition number 43 out of 95 that we are destined to present to you. And it is an undertaking. Listen, folks, this is an undertaking, but it's an undertaking worth taking. It is an undertaking worth taking because it's to the glory and honor of Christ, our Lord, who is being replaced, by these anti-Christian ministers at every turn. Well, we have already seen in proposition number 41 that the office of Metropolitan is unscriptural. It is the invention of Rome, and it is simply completely anti-Christian. In proposition number 2, we have seen, we have debated, we have made our argument that the office of Archbishop is equally unscriptural, equally an invention of Rome, and equally and completely anti-Christian. Well, today, we're dealing with the office of the presiding bishop, who goes by another term. He's either called primate or general overseer. Well, the office of presiding bishop slash primate slash general overseer is equally unscriptural, the invention of Rome, and is completely anti-Christian. That is today's proposition. Again, proposition number 43. And let me give out, before I get ahead of myself, because I get so excited, let me give out the phone number here, because we are still, you know, hoping against hope that someone over there at the Joint College of African American Bishops is going to grow some courage and call this broadcast. The number here is 646-564-9730. Are you listening out there? The number is 646-564-9730. I don't want you to say that Radio Reformer has been talking behind your back. No, I want to talk to you face to face. That's the best way to talk. And for those of you who have been tuning into this broadcast for quite some time, you know that every time I do one of these propositions, we give out the phone number repeatedly throughout the broadcast in hopes that we can go mano a mano, that we can duke it out theologically with one of these asinine jackass bishops. That's right, I said it. Jackass church bishops, Nehushtan church bishops. If you have not gotten your copy of this book, these two books, go to our website. Go to paganbishops.com to order your copy of Jackass Church Bishops and Nehushtan church bishops. You need to get your copy. You need to get your copies of these books. Jackass Church Bishops. Yes. You have to be a jackass to turn your back on Jesus, and you have to be a double jackass to join the Church of Rome. It's just that, I just made my argument. Get the two books, Jackass Church Bishop and Nehushtan Church Bishops. The third book, Draconian Tsunami, is about to come out. And to date, we have not heard. We have not heard on the books. We have not heard on the propositions. And at this time, I would like to greet our audience tuning in from Norway, and those tuning in from Ghana, and those tuning in from South Africa, and those tuning in from Europe, from parts like Germany and France and Great Britain and up in Canada, and in the Caribbean and here in the United States. Yes, indeed. I want to welcome all of my brothers and sisters. So let me now read again proposition number 43. The office of presiding bishop slash primate or general overseer, I contend, is unscriptural. The invention of Rome, and is completely anti-Christian. There you go. That's proposition number 43. And by the way, let me just give you an advance notice. I will be in studio tomorrow doing another proposition, proposition number 44. Even though you know that every Friday Sister Marie is in studio with us, but she will not be in studio tomorrow because she's attending a wedding. She will be with us on Saturday. So I am going to present to you proposition number 44 tomorrow. Sister Marie will be with us on Saturday. You don't want to miss the insider broadcast. She is just phenomenal, Sister Marie. So you're asking yourself, and I know you are, you're asking, what is a primate? You're asking, what is a primate? Well, I told you in the proposition, I contend that this is an invention of Rome. This term primate is an invention of Rome. Now, according to, let me just read to you, according to the Maronall Catholic Dictionary, page 462, the English word primate comes from the Latin word primus, which means first rank. Primus, first rank. When you speak of a primate in Roman Catholic lingo, you're talking about somebody who is ranked first. From the word primate, we have the word primacy, the primacy of the Pope, how the Pope reigns supreme, how the Pope is the first ranked leader in the Roman Catholic Church. We call that papal primacy. So a primate is a person who is ranked first. It reads in the Maronall Catholic Dictionary, a title formally assigned to a bishop who exercised jurisdiction over all the metropolitans and bishops of a country or region. Present canon law does not recognize this power or jurisdiction for anyone but the Pope. Excuse me, I'm battling a little cough here. Let me read this to you again. According to the Maronall Catholic Dictionary, on page 462, the word primate, again, from the Latin primus, which means first rank. A title formally assigned to a bishop who exercised jurisdiction over all metropolitans and bishops of a country or region. Present canon law does not recognize this power or jurisdiction for anyone but the Pope. However, in many countries, this title has been retained and gives a rank of seniority. So today, when you speak of a primate, you're talking about the Pope. And the Pope is the first rank. Now, let me read to you from the Dictionary of the Liturgy by Reverend Jovian P. Lang. And we've mentioned this work before. It's quite a voluminous text. And on page 523, primate, it says, bishops enjoying a certain preeminence over several other bishops. Again, anyone who's a primate is a bishop who enjoys certain preeminence. Certain preeminence. Well, we have a problem with the word preeminence. Let me tell you why we have a problem with the word preeminence and why we should shun people who want to be preeminent. The Apostle John, and remember, my dear brothers and sisters, that the Joint College of African American Bishops as a body claims to succeed Christ and his apostles. Well, if you read the third epistle of John, written by the apostle John, starting at verse 9, John writes, I wrote unto the church, but Diotrephus, who loveth to have the preeminence among them, does not receive us. The word here, preeminence, he loveth to have the preeminence, it simply means in the Greek, if you were just to put it in street talk, John is simply saying the dude likes to be number one. The dude wants to be a primate and doesn't want anybody rivaling him. I wrote unto the church, but Diotrephus, he loves to be number one. He loves preeminence. He doesn't receive us. Wherefore, if I come, I will remember his deeds, which he doeth prating against us with malicious words, and not content therewith, neither doth he himself receive the missionaries, and forbiddeth them that would, and would even cast them out of the church. Beloved, follow not that which is evil. And notice, the root of this evil in this man called Diotrephus was that he loved to be number one. He wanted to be a primate. In other words, he was a little pope. A little pope, a little pope, a little pope. A little pope. He loves, as it says here in the dictionary of the liturgy, a Catholic dictionary, by the way. And listen, I can Catholic works till the cows come home. Don't need to. But here on page 523, what is a primate? What are primates? Primates are bishops enjoying a certain preeminence over several other bishops, primarily precedents of honor with no jurisdiction. Why is that? Well, because, again, canon law was changed, and now the person who has ultimate preeminence and who calls all the shots without question, who rules the church like a dictator, is the Pope. Well, this foolishness of the idea of having a primate has come into the black church. Why has it come into the black church? Well, because everything else Roman Catholic has come into the black church. So it should not shock us that now in the black church we have an office called the presiding bishop. A presiding bishop is also is another term for primate, or another term for general overseer. But as you can see, this is complete foolishness. This is unscriptural. It's an invention of Rome. Now here in this dopey book, because it's just asinine, this book is so stupid. The title is stupid. The title of this book is The Bishopric, a handbook on creating episcopacy in the African-American Pentecostal Church. Well, like I argued before, this guy didn't create episcopacy. He copied it. Change the title, Mr. Ellis. Change it, because you didn't create anything. You copied it completely from Rome. Well, on page 24 of this asinine book, chapter 4, page 24, the title of this chapter is Episcopal Orders. It begins by saying, there are six orders of the prelature in the Church of Jesus Christ. Well, there's a problem. We have a problem. When this man says there are six orders of prelature in the Church of Jesus Christ, he can't provide a scripture. In fact, there is no scripture here. In fact, in this entire book, there's only one scripture quote. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine that? This book is devoid of God. It has one, the author only has one Bible text. One. Well. Again, chapter 4, page 24, title of the chapter, Episcopal Orders. Mr. Ellis goes on to say, there are six orders of prelature in the Church of Jesus Christ. My first question to Mr. Ellis is, can you provide scripture? Can you give us some proof text? Is there any, can you quote a Bible verse? Because if it is the Church of Jesus Christ, it means it is a church that is governed by his word. Where are the scriptures for this? Well, there are none. I can tell you there are none. So it is not, these are not orders of prelature for the Church of Jesus Christ. These are the orders of prelature for the Church of Satan. Yes, I said it, the Church of Satan. The Church of Jesus Christ doesn't have orders of the prelature. We have what Christ gave us. Jesus, according to Ephesians 4:11, and he gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, some to be pastors, some to be teachers. But those five, which make up the fivefold ministry, they've been replaced. The five is the number of grace. Six is the number of man. Well, they've been replaced. And this ought to let you know that these orders are man-made. There are six orders, and I'm reading from the book. I'm quoting from the book. There are six orders of prelature in the Church of Jesus Christ. It must be the Church of Jesus Christ of dummy saints, because it is not the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ that I belong to. Five of the orders are episcopal, he goes on to say. For our purposes here, we will name the orders of the prelature and then offer brief explanations according to their purviews. This list is not designed to subjugate anyone in either of the said offices, but to provide a sense of first among equals that has always been the hallmark of the apostolic office. This is stupid talk. Here again you have number one, the presiding bishop, and the presiding bishop is the primate or general overseer. Then you have the ordinary diocesan bishop, number three, the coadjutor bishop, number four, the suffragan bishop, number five, the auxiliary bishop, and number six, the overseer. Now, he goes on to write, the first, and he's got the word first underlined, the first and probably the most celebrated order in the church is that of the presiding bishop. Again, let me read this. The first and probably the most celebrated order in the church is that of the presiding bishop. This is the primate among his or her fellow bishops who may hold the distinction of general overseer for the communion of the saints. Again. The first and probably the most celebrated order in the church is that of presiding bishop. This is the primate among his or her fellow bishops who may hold the distinction of general overseer for the communion of saints. This office is obtained through apostolic election. There's no such thing as apostolic election. Again, that is something that is a Roman Catholic invention. Apostolic elections are a Roman Catholic invention. I will deal with that in proposition number 44 tomorrow. The presiding bishop is elected from among the existing bishops of the Reformation, who are the college or board of bishops. The election is a very confidential matter and is held by the bishops in a closed-door session called by the secretary of the board. Have you ever heard of such a thing, my brothers and sisters? Yeah, I've heard of such a thing. It's called the Roman Catholic Church. This is directly out of the Roman Catholic Church playbook. Again, let me pick it up. The presiding bishop is elected from among the existing bishops of the Reformation, who are the college or board of bishops. The election is a very confidential matter and is held by the bishops in a closed-door session called by the secretary of the board. When a vacancy occurs in this office, the secretary of the board calls for a conclave to be held within 30 days at the headquarters of that denomination or fellowship. Now, you see, he's copying from the Roman Catholic Church. Let me read again. When a vacancy occurs in this office, what office are you talking about? Well, the office of presiding bishop. When a vacancy occurs in the office of presiding bishop, the secretary of the board calls for a conclave. Can we find that word in the Bible, my brothers and sisters, ladies? Can we find it, the word conclave? No, you can't find the word conclave. And this conclave is to be held within 30 days at the headquarters of the denominational fellowship. Well, what is a conclave? Well, according to the dictionary of the Bible and religion, this is what a conclave is. A conclave is a term both for a place where cardinals elect a pope and for the meeting itself. So a conclave can either be a place or it can either be an event, which is the election of a pope. On the death of a pope, a conclave is called in 15 days in a private place. Rules for the conclave were laid down by popes Pius the 12th, John the 23rd, and Paul the 6th. You see, a conclave, my brothers and sisters, is a Roman Catholic meeting where secret ballots are submitted in order to vote for the next Antichrist. So, again, I return back to Mr. Ellis's book. On page 25, he writes, the election is a very confidential matter and is to be held by the bishops in a closed-door session called by the secretary of the board. When a vacancy occurs in this office, the secretary of the board calls for a conclave. What is a conclave? Again, it is a term both for the place where cardinals elect the pope and for the meeting itself. On the death of the pope, a conclave is called in 15 days in a private place. Rules for the conclave, in other words, rules for the electing of a pope, were established by popes Pius the 12th, John the 23rd, and Paul the 6th. This is all Roman Catholic. It goes on, Mr. Ellis does in his book, after much prayer, praying to who, I may ask, after much prayer, a secret ballot should be the means whereby the presiding bishop is elected, a secret ballot, like the pope. When that election has ended, each bishop is called upon to obey and prayerfully support their newly elected primate. and to encourage all others within their C-S-E-E, another Roman Catholic word, to do the same. Isn't that interesting? So in essence, what you're doing is, because you see, today in the Roman Catholic Church, the primate is only one. That is the Pope. Those who hold the title of primate in the Roman Catholic Church, other than the Pope, just speaks of a bishop who's been in the bishopric for a long time. It speaks of seniority. But the one true primate of the Roman Catholic Church is the Pope. There's only one primate. Well, now in the Black Church, you have now what we call primates. In other words, you're electing a black pope for the black church. Let me read it to you again. This is, in essence, what's happening. You are electing a black pope. On page 25, it says, after much prayer, a secret ballot should be the means whereby the presiding bishop is elected. When that election has ended, each bishop is called upon to obey and prayerfully support their newly elected primate and to encourage all others within their C-S-E to do the same. My brothers and sisters, this man hasn't created anything. He's copied it. He's copied. So if the primate in the Roman Catholic Church is the Pope, and now the black church gets to elect its primate, that means the black church has its own black pope. Very interesting. Now, I have some audio for you. Here's some audio. Let's listen to this audio. And in this audio, this is Pope Francis, when Pope Francis was made primate of Rome back in 2013. The Roman Catholic Church leaders came upon the balcony, and they wanted to tell us that they had a pope, Habemus Papam. We have a pope. This is Pope Francis. Listen to this.
Annuncio vobis gaudium magnum. Habemus Papam.
You see how the crowd is roaring, because this guy comes out and he's speaking Italian to them, and he says, "Habemus Papam, we finally have." And the St. Peter's Square is jam packed. I mean, it's standing room only. People are they're jammed in there because, again, they want to hear that there's a new pope. Well, the guy just walked out to the balcony, and they put the mic to his mouth, and he says, "Habemus Papam." Here it is.
Annuncio vobis gaudium magnum. Habemus Papam. Eminentissimum ac reverendissimum Dominum, Dominum Georgium Marium, Sancte Romane Ecclesiae Cardinalem Bergoglio, qui sibi nomen imposuit Franciscum.
And now they were told, who was it? Mario Bergoglio, the cardinal from Argentina. And now the crowd is just cheering and cheering and cheering, and they want the new pope to come out. They want the new primate to come out. They want the new antichrist to come out. And here he is. They're putting out his papal flag and rolling out the papal carpet, and he's about to make his grand entrance. He's about to make his grand entrance. Here it is. Quite boring, if you ask me. Well, that's what the black church is into now. They're into having primates, and that means they just have a black pope. And guess who the black pope is? Well, let me play that for you. Let me tell you who the black pope is. It's none other than Mr. Ellis, who wrote the book. Listen to this.
Joint College of African American Pentecostal Bishops important? The question, why is it important? It is important to the ongoing life of the Holiness Pentecostal movement as we know it, in that it provides for our community a similar ethos as does Lambeth for Anglicanism. We may not impact the entire church community, but we will and can impact any disenfranchised segment of the church. The Joint College is important because there is a continuing need for Episcopal training for African American Reformation.
This is so boring. This guy and Pope Francis can put you to sleep talking this minutia.
The Joint College brings fresh sunshine of knowledge to a perpetually disenfranchised segment of the church. However, it is not so much knowledge that it destroys the fervor that is distinctive of the African American heritage or experience. For example, the office of the Metropolitanus Archiepiscopus.
You see, he's the primate. He's the Metropolitanus Archiepiscopus. And you can't get that title, Metropolitanus. You can't be a Metropolitan unless the Pope makes you a Metropolitan. And as Metropolitanus, Archiepiscopus of the Black Church, he's the primate or the Pope of the Black Church. That's what he is. That's why he produced this little worthless book. And that's how he has leavened the black church with Roman Catholicism. Let me continue to read from his book on page 26. The presiding bishop is the chief executive officer of the corporation and overseer for the religious affairs of the Reformation. Again, that term Reformation is laughable because they don't straighten out anything. In fact, they do the opposite. They twist things. It goes on to say, it is usually the responsibility of the presiding bishop to have oversight over the General Assembly as chair and its annual conclave. There you go again. He, she also serves as the president of the College of the Bishops for their respective reformation. The presiding bishop shall be the only power of appointment for any of the prelatures of the church. In other words, he's a black pope. This provision may not apply in reformations where the board of bishops makes this selection. District overseers, superintendent, presiding bishops may be recommended and even selected by the bishops in the several sees or dioceses. However, it is the presiding bishop who must elevate them to the domestic rank of prelate in the church. It goes on to say the presiding bishop is always the chief consecrator and ordainer for all persons selected for episcopacy in any church. The chief consecrator. Wow. So what happened to the Holy Spirit? Interesting. It goes on to say, when it is determined that the presiding bishop will conduct such consecrations, there must be at least two other bishops in attendance as co-consecrators with him or her. No bishop shall participate who has not been properly ordained by three bishops. And, of course, that number three, that's assigned by Rome again. It says, no bishop shall participate who has not been properly ordained by three bishops and who themselves do not have apostolic succession. In the event that the presiding bishop cannot fill the request for a consecration, the presiding bishop may give the assignment to another senior bishop of the church. So there you have it. The office of presiding bishop, primate, or general overseer is unscriptural, an invention of Rome, and is completely anti-Christian. Why? Well, because you have, as a primate, you have a black pope. You cannot find the term presiding bishop in the Bible. You cannot find the term primate in the Bible. In fact, when you look at the word primate, it comes from the Latin primus, which means what? First in rank. The one who has preeminence. In the Roman Catholic Church, the ultimate primate is the Pope. He calls the shots. He has your fate, your career, your life in his hands. He does with you as he wills, and you can, there's no court of appeals. So, my dear brothers and sisters, we have proven that there is no such thing as a metropolitan. There's no such thing as an archbishop. There's no such thing as a primate. There is none. Not in Christ's church. Only in Satan's apostate hearted church do you find metropolitan, archbishop, and primate. And so, my brothers and sisters, we have made our case. There's nothing further to say. I await a response, a rebuttal, an answer from these members from the Joint College of Bishops. And as I have looked at the screen all night, not one of them has drawn near to present the defense. The number here is 646-564-9730. I will be back on the air tomorrow to present proposition number 44. I hope that these bishops will garner some courage. Maybe three or four of them can call in at the same time. I'll deal with three or four of them at the same time. Let's see if that happens. I doubt it. Until tomorrow, my dear brothers and sisters, may the Lord be with you. Amen.
Still our ancient foes. Christ Jesus is here.